So back to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. The message tonight really has to do with assurance. Abraham asked the Lord in verse 8, "Whereby shall I know that I shall inherit this land that you've promised?" That you've promised that, he said, your seed will inherit this land. And Abraham wants to know, whereby, or give me a sign or a token that I shall inherit this land. There's definitely nothing wrong with assurance. We truly ought to be full of assurance. We have the complete Word of God. Abraham didn't have what you and I have as far as the written Word. He didn't have this. But you and I have it. And there's nothing wrong with having assurance. Not to have assurance, really, it's unbelief. That's what it is. It's unbelief. And you'll notice here, as we go down through this, that when Abraham asked God to give him some assurance of him inheriting and his seed inheriting this land, the Lord directed him to a sacrifice. That's where the assurance is going to come from. Our assurance of salvation. Our assurance that God will do just exactly as He has promised. That all the promises of God in Christ are yea and amen. Our assurance of that is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's Christ in Him crucified. And it's God's satisfaction with Christ that really gives us our assurance. It's God's satisfaction with Him. And when we really come to understand that God Almighty is satisfied with His Son, with the sacrifice of His Son, with the blood of atonement, that His blood is the blood of atonement, and that in Him God is well pleased. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. When we understand that, if we come to a real realization and understanding of God's satisfaction in His Son, that's when we'll have real assurance. It's not when I look at myself, or I'm getting way ahead of myself in this message. I'm going to give you the message, then I'm going to go back here and try to preach it. But this is the message. The message is Lord, give me some assurance here that what You said You will do, it'll happen. And He's going to direct him to the sacrifice. And if you and I are to have any assurance in salvation, that we are His, I am His and He is mine, it's going to be in the sacrifice. It's going to be in Jesus Christ and Him crucified and God's satisfaction in Him. If God is satisfied with Him and I am in Him, my soul, God is satisfied with me. There's not anything that God is not satisfied concerning me. In Christ. In Christ we're complete. That's what it says. It says, in Him we are complete. We lack nothing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that we need to stand in God's presence, complete, accepted, we have in the sacrifice. We have it in the sacrifice. Now let's look at this. I've already preached it. That's the message. So now let's look at it. How can I know that what God has promised, He will give? That's the title of the message. Now back in verse 6, Abraham, it says, believed in the Lord. He trusted the Lord. He stayed upon, one of the literal translation is, he stayed upon the Lord. Took him at his word, and it was counted to him. That is, God counted, He reckoned, He imputed it to Abraham for righteousness, which just means it is now His. If God imputes righteousness to me, then that righteousness is mine. It's mine. When the righteousness of Christ is imputed to a man, that righteousness belongs to that man now. It belongs to him. It's not borrowed. It's mine. It's mine. And the Scriptures make it very clear that Abraham, as well as all who believe, are justified through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, apart from any kind of works. When this is mentioned here, of Abraham having righteousness accounted to him, not one thing is said about Abraham's exploits or his works or anything. Just that he believed God. He believed God. Now here in verse 7 is where we're going to pick up. I left off in verse 6 last week. It says, "And he said unto him," that is the Lord. And notice the Lord. This is Jehovah. This person speaking here is Jesus Christ. This is the Lord Jesus. This is the Son of God. This is the Word of God speaking to Abraham that became, this is the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. This is the one speaking to Abraham. "And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it." You know, when God purposes to bless his people, he always lets them know that he's the one that's doing the blessing. The blessing is coming from him. He's the one that's going to do the blessing. And he declares what he's done for Abraham. He declares to Abraham, first of all, who he is. He lets him know who he is. "I am the Lord. I'm the Savior. I'm your Savior. I'm your Redeemer. I'm Jehovah. That's who I am." There could be no mistake as to who the Savior is. No mistake. He says, "The Lord." And what he declares here, what he did to Abraham. "Brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees." That idolatrous people. That dark nation. He said, I brought you out, Abraham. It's not that I called and you cooperated. Yes, he called Abraham. And Abraham obeyed. But now here he says, "I brought you out." Is that not salvation? I saved you. I chose you. I called you. You're mine. I brought you out. I brought you out of that place. And here he declares the purpose for which he brought him out. To give thee this land. To inherit it. Abraham, I brought you out here to give you this land. Here's what the gospel declares. This is the gospel. The gospel declares what God has done for us. In His Son and through His Son. The gospel declares who saved us. The Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who has saved us. By His sacrifice, by His blood, He's the one who has saved us. It declares where He's brought us from. Sin, darkness, idolatry, death. This is what He's brought us from. He declares this in the gospel. This is what I brought you from. And then the gospel declares what He's given us. Life. Not just physical life. Eternal life. Life, the life of God. And you have that right now. If you believe Him. He's given us life. He's given us forgiveness. A complete forgiveness of sins, pardon. He's given us the land of glory. The new heaven, new earth. He said, "I've given you these. These things are yours. These things are yours." And then Abraham asked this question. And it seems a little unusual from a man who had just declared righteous because he believed God. Doesn't it? It seems just a little unusual. I don't know why, other than, I know this, all these things are written for our learning. And if you notice, when Abraham asked the Lord to give him a token, a sign, the Lord did not chide him. The Lord did not say, that you have little faith. He didn't say anything to Abraham by way of chiding him over his lack of faith. No, what he did, he pointed him to the sacrifice. He pointed him to the sacrifice. Abraham says, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? I shall inherit this land. Well, for assurance here, and it's what Abraham wants. And there's nothing wrong, there's nothing wrong with having assurance. I'm not talking about presumption. A presumption and assurance are two totally different things. Abraham he's asking God for assurance here. That what he said and what he promised, he'll have it. And there's nothing wrong with having that assurance. We ought to have assurance. Ought to have it. I'll take God at His word. So here's what happens. The Lord directs him to the sacrifice. He directs him to that which points and is a picture and is a type of His Son. The Lord Jesus Christ. You see, false religion will send you everywhere except to Christ and Him crucified. False religion will send you everywhere except to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want assurance, don't look at how you feel. You won't get it there, not unless you're self-righteous. You won't get it there. Don't even look at the way you live. Say, well, the Lord's enabled me to live, in a way that I never would have thought before. You know, I don't love the things I used to love. Don't go after the things I used to go after. Don't find assurance in that either. Paul did that, didn't he? He found assurance in the way he lived. That's not where assurance is found. Assurance is found by looking to the Lamb of God. Does that sound too simple? It just comes from looking to God's Lamb. It comes from looking to the same one God looks to. The Lord Jesus Christ. Any assurance that is based upon anything else, other than God's satisfaction with Christ, is no assurance at all. It's a false assurance, which comes from false faith. Real assurance is based upon God's satisfaction with the sacrifice. That's what it's based upon. God's satisfaction with Christ. We can see that. If we can get a hold of this, that God Almighty, God who is holy, God who by no means clear the guilty, is absolutely satisfied with the death of His Son, the sacrifice of His Son, the blood of His Son. He's satisfied with it. I'm telling you this, you believe on Christ, that's where you're going to find your assurance. The same place God is satisfied, in His Son, in Him. If God is satisfied with Christ's sacrifice, then that gives me assurance that God is satisfied with me. It doesn't matter how I feel. Doesn't have anything to do with my life. It has to do with God being satisfied with the sacrifice. And if He's satisfied with it, He's satisfied with those in Him, in His Son. True assurance, remember this, true assurance always comes from without, never from within. It comes from the Lord Jesus Christ, looking to Him. And then God said here in verses 9 and 10, He said unto him, unto Abraham, take me an heifer. He didn't say, Abraham, take you a heifer of 3 years of age, and all these others that he mentions, which represent Christ. If you'll notice how young they all were. They were all 3 years of age. Our Lord had a 3-year earthly ministry as far as preaching goes. And these all represent Him, and they were all these were tamed. That was used. It all represents the Lord Jesus Christ. But He said, God says, take me a heifer. The sacrifice is for me, and the sacrifice is to me. Christ offered up Himself to what? To the Lord. He offered up himself to the Lord, to the Father, on behalf of his people. And that's why God says here to Abraham, take a young heifer, 3 years old, for me. This is for me. It represents my son. And if God's going to establish his covenant here with Abraham, he's going to do it by way, listen, of a sacrifice. It's going to be established. Abraham said, how am I going to know this? Give me some kind of sign or some kind of evidence that I'm going to inherit this land. And God said, here it is. I'm going to make a sacrifice. You take me a heifer of 3 years old. Take me. This is for me. And this is how I'm going to establish this covenant. It's going to be through a sacrifice. The covenant of grace is established with every one of God's children through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's ratified by his blood. Well, there's a lot to that. There's a lot. I tell you what, right there is a lot to give you assurance. There's a whole lot right in that to just give you assurance. Abraham wanted a sign, and God gave him. He gave him the sacrifice. He gave him the one, those things that pointed to his son. Do you see that God is satisfied with the substitutionary life and death of his son? Do you see how he's satisfied with that? I tell you what, if you don't see that, if I don't see that, I'll never know what assurance is. I'll never know what real, I'm talking about real assurance and real peace is. Until we see this, that God is satisfied. This is my beloved Son whom I'm well pleased. Well pleased with my Son. And now notice what happened when Abraham offered the sacrifice that God told him to offer. Here in verse 9, he offers up the heifer and the she-goat and the ram and the turtle doves and the pigeon. And he took unto him all these and he divided them in the midst and laid each piece one against another. He did this orderly. See, there was order to this. He didn't just chop them up and lay them down. There was order to this. There must always be order in our worship service. There must always be order. And Abraham laid these in pieces one against the other, but the birds he didn't divide. And after he did this, when the fowls came down upon the carcass, oh my soul, here comes the buzzards. Here comes the buzzards. That's what vultures. Here comes the vultures. God gives the sacrifice in which he is well pleased, in which he is satisfied. He gives the sacrifice to Abraham for assurance. And then here comes the buzzards. They come off. They come flying in. Here, this is all carved up. It's laid in order. And then it says, the fowls. These are flesh-eating birds. They came in and they came down on the carcass, trying to pick apart that sacrifice. Isn't that religion today? Is that false prophets and false preachers today pick apart the sacrifice? Try to pick apart the truths, the great truths that are set forth in the Scripture, the great truths that are set forth in the Lord Jesus Christ, and then try to pick them apart. The flesh eaters came down to devour the sacrifice, tear it up. This is Satan. Oh, what a picture of Satan and false religion. Anytime Christ in his redemptive glory, Christ in his work, Christ in him crucified, anytime it's preached, you can be sure, sooner or later, there are going to be some buzzards flying in and try to pick it apart and try to destroy it, try and change it. You can just count on it. I do know this. I thought about this today. We have enough of those buzzards in us without any outside help. There's enough evil thoughts in our minds that go on every day. There's enough worldliness. There's too much worldliness in us. Pride, greed, All these fly down on the sacrifice and destroy our joy, really. They destroy our joy and the effects that that it could have on us. An everyday life, everyday assurance, everyday peace. Just what's in us. But the real message here, the real buzzards are those who pick at the gospel of substitution and satisfaction. They just pick at it. I've had people try and debate with me over the gospel. You don't debate with buzzards. You don't debate with flesh-eating birds. You know, you do what Abraham did. He scared them off. He ran them off. He didn't let them have any of it. When those buzzards came down on the sacrifice that God had given to Abraham here that represented Christ, Abraham, it says, he drove them away. He drove them away. He let them have no place, no part of it. Do not for one minute let anyone move you from the sacrifice or tamper with the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, His substitutionary work, His substitutionary life, His substitutionary death. Don't let anyone pick at it. Don't put up with it for a minute. Not even for a minute. Drive them away. Do not entertain buzzards that all they want to do is eat up the sacrifice. Destroy it. All they want to do is destroy the sacrifice. And in doing so, see, Satan's subtle. Satan's subtle. He knows if he can just pick at this, and if he can just pick at it, he'll destroy your assurance. He'll destroy your assurance. Because our assurance comes from this sacrifice, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to give you four words here that describe the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first one, I read it to you over in 1 Peter, is this: precious. Precious. This sacrifice, this blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is precious. There's no other like it. It's the only blood of His kind. It's precious. It's the blood of the Lamb of God. This sacrifice is a sacrifice of God. This is God. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." This is God's Lamb. This is God's sacrifice. His blood is precious. His blood is precious to God, and His blood is precious to everyone who has tasted of Him, has tasted of His grace and His mercy. His blood is precious. It's the only blood that can wash away sin. No other blood can do that. Nothing else can do that. It's precious. And then it's particular. It was shed to save a particular people. This sacrifice is for a particular people. It's for a multitude of sinners that no man can number, whom God chose before the world began. It's going to get, you know, it's particular now. It's particular. It's for those whom God has purposed to save. You would not leave the precious blood of your son in the hands of devils, would you? Well, God's not going to leave the precious blood of His son in the hands of sinful men, lost, God-hating men. No, it's particular. It's for certain people, and they are going to be saved by it. God's going to save them. They're going to be saved from their sins by it. And then it's successful. It's successful. His blood redeems. All the blood of the bulls and the goats did not redeem one person. Of thousands and thousands, millions upon millions of people. The blood of the bulls and goats did not redeem one person. But the blood of Christ, the precious blood of Christ, has redeemed every one of God's elect. It has redeemed. His blood redeemed. It truly washes away all sin. It truly satisfied God's justice. It's successful. And then last of all, it's sufficient. It's sufficient. We don't need anything else. We do not need another sacrifice. We do not need other blood. We do not need someone else to shed blood, or their blood, or any blood. It's sufficient. It's sufficient. We need not look anywhere else for cleansing or assurance except through the blood of the Lamb. We look to Him. Sufficient to satisfy God's justice and sufficient to satisfy every believer who's been washed by it. Sufficient. Run those buzzards off when they start picking at this gospel. This gospel of the glory of God. Run them off like Abraham did. He ran them off. And then to close, I want you to look here in verses 12 through 16. After Abraham ran these buzzards off, it said, "And the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, and horror of great darkness fell upon him." God's going to reveal to Abraham that his seed that's going to inherit the land is going to suffer. They're going to suffer. "In this world, you shall have tribulation. It will never be easy for anyone to follow Christ in this life. With much tribulation shall you inherit the kingdom of God." And he reveals to Abraham 400 years before they ever go into the promised land. He said they're going to be in there for 400 years. They're going to go in enslaved, bondage. They're going to suffer. They're going to undergo a heavy tribulation. Faith is going to be tried. That's why it's deep. Faith's going to be tried. If you've got faith, if God's given you faith, I promise you one thing. It's going to be tried. Then God, listen, in verse 16. "But in the fourth generation, they're going to come out." Did that happen? You go back in Exodus, you go over in Exodus, and you read in the fourth generation, they came out. Just as God promised Abraham. Just as He promised, they came out of it. God promised to deliver His children. We will be victorious when this is over with. When this is over with, we will be victorious in the end. And He says, when they come out, they're going to come out with what? Great substance. Oh, when we come out of this, when the Lord calls our bodies out of the grave in that great resurrection, we are going to come out with great substance. The half is, the Queen of Sheba said, the half has never yet been told what we are going to have. You're going to come out of this with great substance. And then over here in verse 17, look, "And it came to pass, God gave the sacrifice as a sign for assurance. And it came to pass when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace." Smoking means that when something's smoking, it's doing what? It's being consumed. This verse right here says that God is well pleased with the sacrifice. "When the sun went down, it was dark. Behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp," a light. God is light. "A burning lamp that passed between those pieces." God was in that sacrifice. God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. God was. And then God makes, here in verse 18, the Lord makes a covenant with Abraham. And He makes a covenant with Abraham by way of this sacrifice that represents the Lord Jesus Christ. "In the same day, The Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Let me see if I can find a verse. I don't know if I can find it now. I don't think I marked it down. Look in over in chapter 13. Chapter 13. In chapter 13, verse 15, the Lord says, for all the land which thou seest, to thee, listen now, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. To thee will I give it. Now go back to verse 18. Look what happens here in chapter 15. Listen to the listen to the change of language. In the same day the Lord made a covenant. This is the same day this sacrifice was offered. And the Lord walked in the midst of this sacrifice. He accepted this, well pleased with this sacrifice. In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, unto thee, unto thy seed, listen, have I given it? You see, over in 13 he said, I shall give it. Now he says, I have given it. It's yours. Abraham, it's yours. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, all things are yours. What's our assurance? Christ. Christ. God's given us His Son. Shall He not freely with Him give us all things? The Lord Jesus Christ. God gave Abraham assurance through the sacrifice that what He had promised, He would do. We have assurance that through the Lord Jesus Christ, through His substitutionary work, through His person, through His blood, through His sacrifice, God will give us everything He's promised. We'll have it. If you would have assurance, I close with this. If you would have assurance that salvation is yours, look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ, who was sacrificed for us. Anytime you want assurance, you see, assurance with us kind of comes and goes, doesn't it? Kind of like the ocean, you know, the tide comes up and goes down. That's kind of the way we are with this matter of assurance. But when you lack assurance, when you're troubled about these things, go to Christ. That's the only place assurance of the promises is established, is through Him. You'd have it, go to Him. Get a hold of this matter of God being satisfied with the sacrifice. That's right. God's satisfied with the sacrifice. Lay hold of that which God is satisfied with, and I assure you, you'll have assurance.